We're going to finish up in our doctrinal series, biblical doctrine series on prayer tonight. These are kind of the concluding thoughts of how prayer is needed, how prayer should be conducted. And this one where we're going to start is to pray in faith. And I know many times I've had discussions with people and they'll say, well, faith is this, faith is that. And we know the biblical definition of faith as well, found in Hebrews. But when we're talking about prayer, do we have, and remind yourself that you can pray to anything or anyone. So when we pray, do we pray in faith, or do we still have our faith in God? And because I say that, because those of you that have Roman Catholic friends know that they pray with the rosary, and they'll have their different points on that to be able to pray. So is it enough to pray, or does it matter who you pray to? Just to offer up a plea of help me is pretty vague. But yet, many times in our prayers, we do just that. So we want to talk about praying in faith to God. Jesus told his apostles in Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, all the things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. James 1:6-7 says this, but he must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. And the Hebrew writer states it, the unqualified importance of faith, when he says, and without faith, in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Those aren't the first time you've heard those passages of Scripture, that's for sure. But as we consider prayer and we consider our faith, how joined together are they, is what we want to look at. A Christian can pray in faith because he is coming to God, who is all-powerful and who can answer the prayers of his children. The Christian can pray in faith knowing that he is coming to one who loves him and desires to answer his requests. The Christian has every reason then to pray believing that his prayers will be answered. As we say, if we pray in faith. But even the apostles were told that their faith was weak. And if their faith isn't what it ought to be, then I venture to say that maybe my faith and your faith and our faith isn't as strong as it could be as well. One word of caution should be offered as we look at this. The Christian must always keep in mind that God's will and wisdom will direct God's answer. He does want to know what's going on and what we're thinking, verbally and audibly. However, this is one of the great questions that we have to ask for God, and maybe you get asked this, maybe you ask yourself this, maybe you're asked this by those that you're working with or teaching or trying to talk to about the Lord. Is so if God already knows how things are going to turn out, how does his will affect all of that? What we need to let the Lord know is he know, or what the Lord lets us know is he already knows the destination of every soul here. And he's known for all mankind. But that doesn't mean that he gets in the way to help somebody make a right decision or help somebody or allow somebody to make a wrong decision. However, he allows them to make those decisions. It's where we understand that we are free moral agents, that we get to decide for ourselves, even though he already knows where you're going. His will not affect and change those things. However, this does not prevent the Christian praying in faith, believing that God will answer his prayer. What we need to learn from that, and just about everybody who's ever preached a sermon on prayer knows that we'll say, God will answer your prayers. It just might not always be as you desire, or as myself even desires. Even when God in his wisdom says no to our request, he has still answered it. He has seen the request was unwise, so he has said no, even though he has answered it in the sense that he has heard it and answered it in the best way for us. Another thought to keep in mind is that we may ask for one thing, believing that thing to be the thing of desire, the way we truly want it. However, God in his wisdom and however he may give us something else, which may for the moment seem to be a rejection of our request, in the end, we see that God has given us what we have really needed. And that's where we use that reference of being the parent that's giving the child what they need versus what they want. Found this poem and I thought it was really good and poignant for this section here. It says, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for health that I may do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty so that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men, and I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I may enjoy life. And yet I was given life that I may enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. And as you look at that, you could go through your whole life and have every one of your prayers not answered the way you want and end up with the best life ever. Because it's not about what we think and what we know and what we hope to aspire. It's what God is laying before us. In our prayer and faith, then we are also to pray with a forgiving spirit. Pray in a forgiving spirit. Here is a condition that cannot be overlooked. I'm not sure exactly how God's working the final judgment. But we are told that if we don't forgive, what will happen to our sins? That they won't be forgiven. And so it is a must, if our prayers are to be answered, to have a forgiving spirit. One of the petitions in the model prayer was, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Matthew 6:12. This states that we are to ask God to forgive us in the same way and to the same extent that we forgive our fellow man. Jesus goes ahead to say, Matthew 6:14 and 15, for if you For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. To pray with an unforgiving heart is a sure way to close doors. To close doors to the heavens. To close doors to our prayers. It is a complete waste of time to pray that way. We must forgive if we are to be forgiven. And it's not hard to find out in many people's lives if they've forgiven people for things that have been done. It may not even be an individual. It may just be a group of people. And it's a sad place to be in your spiritual life if you can't move forward. Because as Don Cooper has said, forgiveness isn't for the other person. Forgiveness is for us, so that we can move forward. The other person may not care at all that they offended us, that they hurt us. That's why we are to forgive them, and then we are able to move on. If they do not make that choice, that is their problem. We're also, when we pray, to pray without pretension or vain repetition. There is perhaps no sin that is more detestable to God than the sin of hypocrisy or pretension. This means we know we're going to do what we want to do, even though we know what God's will is for our life. Maybe we've been the one. Maybe we've heard someone say, well, I've prayed about it, so I'm going to do it. Well, as we just looked, just because you prayed about the situation doesn't mean the Lord has opened the doors to that situation. On no class or group did Jesus pronounce such severe condemnation as on the hypocrites of his day. We cannot forget Jesus' discourse in Matthew 23 when in his last appeal to the Pharisees, he scathingly denounced them with the sevenfold woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. It was okay for the people to shout out scribes and Pharisees. It made those gentlemen feel good. It's that last word that he called them, a hypocrite. Where we get our English word thespian, to be an actor, to be someone that you are not. The scribes and Pharisees, remember, these are the religious leaders of the day. And Jesus yet calls them hypocrites. That's why it's important for us to find our sincerity in the faith of Jesus Christ and not just the actions of serving God. There is a difference. An insincere, pretentious prayer is always an abomination to God. Jesus illustrates this in the story of the Pharisee and the publican. We all know the Pharisee and the publican, and I'm thankful I'm not like this guy, and yet then the publican wouldn't even lift his eyes up. To him, the humble publican went away justified before God. God is not deceived by oratory or eloquence. He is impressed only by sincerity. And not just sincerity, because I know a lot of people in the world that are very sincere about their faith. Unfortunately, their faith is not correct. So it has to be true and faithful. Sincerity in the Lord. Our prayers then must be simple, direct, and sincere. A sincere prayer uttered in faith eliminates unnecessary repetitious prayers. And Jesus told his apostles this in Matthew 6:7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. This is one of those Sometimes we kind of make the Bible say what we want to say, and we say, don't use repetition in prayer. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't use meaningless or vain repetitions in prayer. As the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Again, there's the Catholic channel on Dish Network and the different places like that. And you can tune in and watch that old lady with her rosary say Hail Marys and Our Fathers all day long on that channel. And she just sits there. That's what I call, I believe, is vain repetition. Vain repetition. I think even if she fell asleep, she could still pull it off. Maybe she does. I don't know. This does not mean that we should not persist in prayer, nor that we may not at times pray at great length and pray the same things over and over. Just don't make them meaningless. Jesus oftentimes would spend a night in prayer or rise long before the dawn to pray. Jesus does, however, forbid needless repetition of the same thing, as though God could not hear or had to be begged to hear his children's prayers. And we can't talk of that, of what, not thinking of the illustration of the parable that Jesus uses of the woman that continually nags the king for what she wants, and being that he even says, I'm not a God-fearing man, I don't, but woman, you're driving me crazy. God wants for us to drive him crazy, if that's what it means, as long as it's sincere in our prayers and our efforts. The Holy Spirit's assistance in prayer. And there's many times I think that we do, and myself, and I'm not sure exactly why we do, but we do leave the Holy Spirit out of many things that we need to be including him in. I don't know if we've let our Pentecostal friends intimidate us or whatever the case may be, but we know that as we pray, we're to pray to our Father in heaven. We're to send it off with in Jesus' name, but we act like we leave the Holy Spirit out, it seems. A gentleman by the name of Francis Chan wrote a book entitled The Forgotten God. And it's talking about how the church basically forgets about the work of the Holy Spirit. And there's things for us to consider in that. One of the greatest blessings the Christian enjoys in our life and in prayer is the assistance from the Holy Spirit. We're buried with him in baptism, right? We, for the forgiveness of the sins. And just as big as the forgiveness of sin is what? Yeah, the gift of the Holy Spirit that we take with us. We're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And yet, you do find that perhaps many times the gift of the Holy Spirit is like many gifts we are given today. Thank you very much. I'm going to put it on the shelf, and I may get to it when I need it. And we are failing to cultivate in our own lives the greatest gift that's been given to us outside of our salvation, that is, comes to us in our salvation. Paul says in Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And that's why I've said before, I'm not trying to go off on a speaking in tongues tangent and how all that's there. But I do not wonder if sometimes some of our best prayers are the ones we just can't get out, and we just fall on our knees before God and go, ah! And nobody else knows what we meant or what we said, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. in a way that we do not even comprehend. And people look at that and say, that guy's nuts. When the fact might just be, we're as close to the Lord at that point as any point in our spiritual life. When we just lay it out there and it doesn't make sense to everybody. Because if we walk through our Christian life and expect for everything to make sense, then I think we're putting a cap on our Christian life. The Christian needs this help in prayer since he does not always know what's best for him or the kingdom. Wouldn't that be nice if we did? I think that as we look through the New Testament and they were passing on gifts, we were kind of talking about this in our Bible class the other day, that we'd get gifts and there's certain things that you look at that you're just like, that makes sense that they would have that in the church to help people understand. But not everybody got it, because some people, you know, and in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, it's kind of talking about the church in its individual different capacities, how we have unity. And that's because not everybody can do, you know, what John does, and not everybody can do what Nick does, and not everybody can do what JB does, and not everybody can do what Tim does. But together, we make the church. And out of our differences, we fulfill the unity. And so, as you think of that, I say that to say this. One of the gifts that was given that I think we look at is wisdom. Wouldn't it just be great if you knew that every time you were praying what the mind of God was desiring? Think how great that would be. Do you think your prayers would get answered then with an affirmative? Yeah. Things would change, but that's because we would have the mind of God. And I think that's what, when we see those gifts of wisdom, that there are those people that can do that and see things clearer, see the end picture. And I don't know if that just comes with age and wisdom or you know, that is acquired through age and things, but yet, you know, we'll sit in our meetings. And with Cy's wisdom of the age that has come with him, we'll see things maybe differently than a lot of us do. And yet, usually he's right. And so as we look at that, it's just, so when we do things, are we letting that Holy Spirit be our guide? The Christian is limited in prayer because he does not know what tomorrow may bring. How many have plans for tomorrow? So we've got our idea of what we think should happen. And possibly, inevitably, we're going to have things that are going to change our day. Maybe some in some very major ways. Or maybe it's just going to roll on, kind of like every other day. But see, we don't know. And God does. Also, the Christian does not always know how to express in words exactly the longing and desires of his heart. For these and other reasons, our Heavenly Father has given us this Holy Spirit to assist us in prayer. He takes our petitions and our praises and he presents them correctly to the throne of God. The illustration I always loved slide in with this. If you understood the play of the day was when Esther went before King Xerxes and try to apply that to our life. For every possible outcome that could have been, they had every right to strike her down dead. This is us approaching God. God does not have to listen to us. The king, one greater than Xerxes, chooses to listen to us. could strike us down, could strike our thoughts down before they even get there. Just for us trying to think that we can be on that playing field with them couldn't be the result of our death. Instead, he decides to listen to us just as Xerxes did to Esther. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in our prayer. The Christian's prayer is addressed to God the Father in the name of or by the authority of Jesus Christ and with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. It all comes together. Prayer is a wonderful privilege that the Christian enjoys and should always use. And the final point we want to look at this evening is that God has promised answers to prayers. As we said, it might not always be what we want, but he has promised he will give us answers. God does answer prayer. Amen. Raise your hand if you've had prayers answered in your life. This is an attested fact in scriptures. It's an attested fact in our life. But you know what that shows? For example, you can raise your hand tonight because you've had answered prayers. Because somewhere along the line, you have changed your mind to be like God's. If you're here tonight and you said, God has never answered one of my prayers, then I'm telling you, you probably need to repent. For starters. Because there ought to be some time, somewhere along the line, that our mind starts to sync up with his. If not, we're not working at trying to be like him and be like his son. Now, I'm not saying that means everything gets answered, okay? But what I am saying is we ought to have something that we can throw in our trophy shelf, trophy case as an answered prayer. Even if it wasn't answered the way we asked for it, a one that was a glory to God. Joshua prayed that the sun stood still and his enemies were slain. Moses prayed and his prayer saved a nation from death and from the grave. Joshua prayed that the sun would stand still and his enemies were killed by hailstones sent from heaven. Isn't it awesome when God answers your prayers more than you ask for? Right? It wasn't just enough that he was like, okay, God, help us so that we can win this battle. But then hailstones from heaven kill your opponents. You ever consider that? It wasn't like War Today where you're across the battlefield or maybe sitting in a room somewhere and have a drone make a strike. This is hand-to-hand competition. That the guy that might be having you on your back with his knife to your throat all of a sudden gets hit by a hailstone and kills him. And you're like, yay, God! Right? And he answers it better than you ever imagined. We've had those prayers. Hannah prayed and God gave her a son, Samuel. God's word is filled with promises of answers. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. James 1:5, says, but if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. John 15:7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. I know we've had people do studies on that word abide. And if you don't remember them, then maybe you need to look at what that word abide means for us. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, I'm suggesting that we want to abide in our Lord and have his word abide in us. If a man will meet the conditions that God has laid down for acceptable prayer, he can rest assured that his prayers will be heard and answered according to the will and the wisdom of our Father, which art in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father and God in heaven, we just come to you at this time just thanking you for the opportunity to talk to you, an opportunity to share our ups and our downs and even our going around that we just don't understand from time to time. We thank you for your Son who through his death and burial and resurrection has made this opportunity of talking to you possible. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that takes the words and even the nonsense that we say and makes sense of it to you so that we are well represented by the Godhead. We thank you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your patience with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here and outside of Jesus Christ tonight, there's a plan of salvation that needs to be followed. You need to believe in Jesus and who he is. John 8:24 says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And we need to repent. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That Luke 13 passage, I've listened to it several times over the past couple weeks. And what I guess I like about that is it's a reminder to each and every one of us that Jesus is just sharing events of the day. Those that were killed by the tower in Siloam, those that were murdered by others. He's just saying, so because their life came to an end, they were no more precious than you? No, that's not the case. And he says, we all need to be ready and we all need to repent. And we all need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. There's an opportunity we have to do that before man. And he will do that then before our Father who is in heaven. Then be immersed. Have your sins washed away. Arise to walk in the newness of life, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit along the way. And then to be faithful. Be faithful unto death, and he will give us the crown of life.
Let's stand tonight. Let's sing, "Did You Think to Pray?"